The 2022 midterms certainly saw women in the issues that women are most concerned about bring about results really not too many pollsters or politicians saw coming. They said, for example, that access to abortion was not going to be an issue. Wrong on that one. Women candidate after woman candidate was told to keep their expectations low, but many of them had the naysayers choking on those words. My next guest is part of an organization which has been working to encourage women to step forward and actually enter the political arena at all levels. She is the chief political officer with Vote, Run, Lead. Love the name of that organization. Sabrina Shulman. How are you today, Sabrina?
I'm good. Thanks, Chris. Happy to be here.
And the website, if you're assuming the obvious, you are correct. VoteRunLead.org. Sabrina and I were talking off air before we got started here. And when you think about the fact that it was just over 100 years since women got the right to vote, yet still, after all this time, after every election, we're always saying firsts when it comes to women. Now, well, it's a great thing to have a first, but it's taken a lot of time to get to these firsts, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, one of the things we do is, encourage women into the political arena, train them so they feel comfortable, but it's always shocking to hear that, you know, they still don't see themselves represented in enough places in office, and that's one of the big barriers.
You look at, I mean, some people, maybe it's a good strategy. You pick your spot, someone like a Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Arkansas, like father, like daughter. She had a good, a good opportunity there. You have Vermont elected its first female governor in the 80s, has been the only state that never sent a woman to Congress. Well, that's changed now. So it's a matter of seeing where the inroads are possible, because I think when a Summer Lee in Pennsylvania, for example, first black congresswoman for the state, Delia Ramirez, first Latina congresswoman in Illinois, when other women see those achievements, do you think that really, really adds a spark to a fire and a desire saying, you know what, I can't go to the state house or to the Capitol, but I could certainly do something in my town hall and city hall?
Absolutely. One of the things that we have always known is that while you do have to look for those particular opportunities, we also just need more women stepping up. The more women running, the more likely more women are going to win. And so, you know, those you highlighted some really key wins and folks who leveraged positions and opportunities where they knew there was a path. But we've trained tens of thousands of women in the last 8 years to run. Many of them have won, many of them haven't. But what we see is that as more and more women step up, the more wins we're going to get across the board, just percentage-wise. From we have folks who run for town council, for district attorney, for state legislature. We're about to send our fifth Vote Run Lead alum to Congress. And so it's really critical that women look up and down the ticket, because often starting a run at the very local level actually leads to future runs for the state level offices for Congress. And so it's also part of, you know, having a strategy to build that ladder up to the next level with each run.
Does it get does it get frustrating when you look at the fact that women are a majority of the U.S. population, yet a vast minority in any political decision-making position?
Absolutely. We at Vote Run Lead turned that frustration into a program a couple of years ago. So one of the things I oversee is our Run 51 program, and that is hyper-focused on state legislatures. Because what we saw, particularly in light of what's been happening at the Supreme Court, that state legislatures are the place where some of the most critical policy decisions to women and communities are being made. And Run 51 is aimed at taking where we are now, which is around a third of state legislatures across the country are women. And our goal is this moonshot aim at 51% women in every state legislature across the country, because that is a representative democracy.
With the immediate goals being states like New York, Georgia, everything happens politically in Georgia, apparently, in Minnesota, yeah, where you're looking at 51% by the next election.
Absolutely. So those were our three pilot states. That's where we started. And, you know, Minnesota in particular, we had some huge wins and gains this year. And, you know, to your point about first, not only did we inch up our percentage of women in the Minnesota state legislature this year, but for us, it's not just about women as a whole. It is really the piece of this representative democracy is women who represent the communities they're serving in their states and in their areas. And so, you know, looked at Minnesota, three of our alumni are going to be the first Black women ever to serve in the Minnesota State Senate ever since Minnesota's statehood. So that's a huge barrier to break. They're adding more women's representation to the state legislature, but it's women who represent a growing community, a growing Black community, immigrant communities in the state of Minnesota, which is critically important.
Talking with Sabrina Shulman, who is the Chief Political Officer with Vote Run Lead, voterunlead.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I guess we need to expand the scale, too, because the vote and the political minority also includes the LGBTQ community, and from what I've been reading about the work you do, that is part of your focus as well.
It is. And so, you know, some of the other wins in Minnesota is the first two-spirit candidate to serve in the Minnesota state legislature. So that's a huge win for the Native community in Minnesota. And again, sort of rounding out the diversity of the folks who are serving in that legislature. And, you know, not a Vote Run Lead alum, but another, you mentioned women governors. We are going to have one and maybe two of the first out lesbian governors to serve in the country with Maura Healey in Massachusetts and hopefully Tina Kotek over in Oregon. And the we partner with organizations like the Victory Fund, who also focus on the LGBTQ plus community. But for us, it's really, really important that we are looking at the intersectional identities of the women that we're training and encouraging into the space, because the issues we see happening being tackled at the state level in legislatures, it's not just about what we think of as like traditional women's issues, but you know, we're looking at anti-transgender rights bills and a lot of the work being tackled there at state legislative level. A lot of the pushback is being done by transgender women. Those are voices we need in the state legislature advocating on these issues.
With Maura Healey in Massachusetts, which you referred to, what doesn't that make the entire top political echelon in Massachusetts now occupied by women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're seeing that in other states across the country, too. I mean, it's a really interesting trend for us. It's multi-layered. It's about a representative democracy and sort of the core numbers of, you know, what is the percentage of women serving in a state legislature and at higher levels, but also who's in leadership, who's making the decisions, right? If we have even if we have 51% women serving in a state legislature, if the Senate president and the assembly speaker and the governor are still not representative and there's no women sitting in those powerful seats or leading key committees, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good, because we know that those are the people who are steering legislation and deciding what comes to the floor of a legislature, signing or vetoing bills.
Don't want to mention any specific names, but they're out there. We all know who they are. The women in office currently who are labeled as firebrand bomb throwers, who have more words and legislative accomplishments, they're not really helping the cause, are they?
They're not, although I, to be frank, I think that both the women and the men the bomb throwing are creating just a more dangerous space. You know, the folks who are preaching election denial and conspiracy theories in the political space, what we know and what we've seen over the years is that they're just creating a more dangerous political arena, which inevitably has a greater impact on women looking to enter that political arena. You know, women are disproportionately harassed both online and offline when they run for office or engage in politics, women of color in particular. So, yes, the women throwing bombs are a problem, but it's the men as well. It's everybody, you know, really injecting the risk into the political space, which is more likely to deter women from engaging than men.
I've talked often here in the show how easy it is to get on a ballot. It varies, obviously, office, state to state. Just as a quick thumbnail example, you only need 10 signatures to run for a local school board here in New Jersey, and one of those 10 could be yours, actually. So with it being that easy, what is some of the work that you do once, because you also at VoteRunLead.org basically have that conduit for someone who is thinking, you know what, maybe it's my time, and you invite that woman to say, contact us. Let's talk. Let's get this going, because more pushing the ideas is a greater powerful push.
Absolutely. And one of the things we do is to help women see the path, right? Someone who maybe has thought of running for office or is already planning to but doesn't know how to get in there. Our signature training program is called Run As You Are. And what's really critical about that is often women are told you have to fit into this box or you have to be this certain picture in order to successfully run for office. And our magic really is that we show women how to run exactly as they are, whatever community they come from, whatever identities they are, and how to make that a strength rather than a liability if that's how they perceive it at first.
So if you're a woman and you've always been thinking about, should I, can I, how can I? Well, here's your answer. VoteRunLead.org. You find the answers. You find the connection. You move forward with what the idea and the potential has for you and find out its realistic possibility and how you can be an achiever in the political realm. Its starting point is VoteRunLead.org. We've been joined by their chief political officer, Sabrina Shulman. Sabrina, thanks for the welcome that you've really placed, I think, in front of a lot of women to help them realize, yes, they can. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much, Chris. I appreciate it.